Expecting a carryover, lots of goals tonight in the NHL. I said over in the Leaf game, over in the Edmonton game. I think Dave Tippett might freak if Edmonton keeps giving up goals and breaking down defensively.
Yeah.
One game into the season.
Well, you're one game in, but again, you want to have good habits, but it's not like these games are one-offs. Like, every game is a four-point game. Like, even thinking last night, like, you know, Montreal, you know, probably isn't that pissed that they left the building. They gave a point away, really. That's how they're going to look at it, and the Leafs picked up two. Like, but, you know, I kept thinking, okay, regulation wins. Well, nobody got one last night.
And it was justified. I think that it was a three-point game last night.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
Both teams deserve points. I didn't think one team outplayed the other necessarily.
No, but you're right. It's going to get to, but we're going to see a lot of that. Like, a lot of these little things that we're not paying attention to, there's going to be some jockeying for position down the stretch. And yep. It's going to come back to like, oh, you know what? We lost that night, or we did this, or we went to overtime, and, you know, the regulation wins. Like, the tie-breaking scenarios will be very interesting heading into the – I still think that you're going to see a lot of teams bunched up.
I
don't know where. I
expect that.
Right.
Especially with the it's not a limited amount of games. 56 games is more than enough to separate and, I think, truly determine who are the best four teams in each division. And I think a couple of these divisions – it will likely be exactly how we project it. Like, we talked about this earlier. Tampa's going to get in. I think Carolina's going to get in. I think Dallas, if everything works out, although you never know with such an awkward start to their season or unorthodox start to their season with COVID and them postponing games. And then I think maybe Columbus, you know, maybe Nashville, like one of those two teams will probably get in. But, like, Detroit's going to miss. Chicago's going to miss. I don't love Florida. I really don't. So I think they might miss. And then out west, it's like Colorado's getting in. St. Louis is getting in.
Right.
Vegas, I think, is getting in.
Yeah.
It's the Canadian division and the Eastern division where it really is a complete unknown. It's a complete unknown how it's going to shape out 1 through 7 and 1 through 8 in the East.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. And you know what? Last night didn't disappoint. That's what, you know, I got out of last night is watching. And now, you know, as you get to know these teams, and we're going to get to know them, it's not just going to be watching, you know, for us, like the Leafs and, the you know, one other team, watching McDavid play or watching, you know, Patterson. You're going to get to know all of these seven teams inside and out.
Yeah, like the Winnipeg-Calgary game, I can't wait to see it tonight. I'm looking forward to the Edmonton game again. It's going to be great because it's every single night there's action. Every night there's going to be at least one game. A lot of times there'll be multiple games. And it all factors into where we're all going in the end, where it's just going to be one after the other after the other. And this is probably an overreaction because it's only one day into it. But I just think the NHL is going to have such an outcry on their hands to see more Canadian on Canadian action into the future, even if it's not complete realignment, which they're not going to do. Like Bettman told us that earlier in the week, they're not going to have an all Canadian division, but somehow finding a way to have more games against the Canadian teams, you know, and finding a way to make it more accessible because it is what Canadian hockey fans like the most. Do I love seeing Sid? Of course I do. Do I want to see McKinnon? Yes. But games, I want to see the Leafs play the Canadian teams more than any other American team. Boston included. Boston included in their history in recent years. I get more hype for an all-Canadian matchup than I do the Leafs or any other Canadian team versus any American team. Here's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. Do you anticipate the same pushback that the league will get at the end of the year here, Pierre, or what?
I think it's too early to say that, Hayes. I understand where you're coming from, and you know, I know my kids were excited. I've got a diehard Austin Matthews Leafs fan on one hand, and I got a diehard Carey Price Habs fan on the other. Had to separate them last night, but and they loved it. And these games mean a lot more to them than your, you know, Toronto Columbus game. But I just want to play devil's advocate here. Let's see at the end of 10 matchups if you still feel the same thing. That's all. Because I will tell you that, I mean, Ray could attest to this better than me, Ray Ferraro, but I remember some of the narrative back in the day when you had the Adams division, the Norris division, you know, you had the four divisions, And those teams played 8 to 10 times a year within their own division and then have to go through each other in the playoffs. On the one hand, the rivalries were extraordinary. Mm-hmm. But by the end of it, one of the things that ended up leading to change in the scheduling was that some people were complaining that they played each other too much. So, I think it's great. Last night was great. I think we had some September hockey masquerading as a game with points on the line, but I still love it. I'm just saying that's the other side of this. Let's talk in late May or mid-May.
Yeah, and I understand that. There's a couple things I would respond to with that. One is I do think there's a balance. I'm not saying 10 times. Not saying you need to see, but 6, 7, 8 I think is more doable, especially over 82 as opposed to 52. But I also think it would be an acceptance from the league that, and it's probably one they're reluctant to do and don't want to do, and their instincts would suggest they shouldn't do, is an acceptance that you're a regional sport. You're not the NFL, and you're never going to be. You never have been. You can't play Kansas City, Buffalo, and get 20 million people like the NFL can, or Jacksonville, Cleveland, and get 20 million people watching.
Totally.
You need to expose and take advantage of what works. Philly versus Pittsburgh, New York versus the Islanders. That's what works. Chicago versus Detroit. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I think the California teams playing each other. You know where I'm going with this. And
for sure.
I understand why their instincts would say it's more lucrative if we can get on the national stage more, but it just has never happened, and I don't think it will. You're a regional sport, own it. And Canada sells more than anything else.
Big time, for sure. So maybe there's a sort of happy medium between what we're going to have this year and what it can be moving forward. The other interesting potential byproduct, although I'm even more dubious about this one, except that it's one that I support. I talked to an NHL GM about this recently, but the baseball type scheduling that we're in store for here this year, there are people, Jonathan Tate has actually been public about it. I don't know if you guys saw that in the last couple of years. He's talked a couple of times about this, but there also this GM that I talked to, will there be an appetite to continue some of the baseball scheduling? That when the Leafs go out to Western Canada next year, why don't they just get all their games over with? I mean, you've got what, 3 games against Ottawa maybe next year? Can they be 3 games in 4 days all in Ottawa?
Yep.
I mean, we're used to it in baseball. Why has it always been something that the NHL has avoided? And the reason some people like it is that it cuts down on costs. It cuts down on the wear and tear for players travel-wise. The cost of a charter, I think it's like $25,000 an hour on average for a team, the flight cost. So I wonder if some of the baseball-type scheduling has some staying power. That'll be interesting to me.
I agree. I think there will be a few things that they're going to pluck out of this scenario and keep it consistent moving on. That could be one of them, just based on convenience and the players not having a problem with it. I could see that one sticking. I agree. I would like to see the Canadian division. You got me thinking, is there at any point, because I didn't see this, and I would think that Hayes would be not for this, but we're going to see 10 times, Leafs play Team X 10 times. Is there going to be a point where we're like, all right, enough with this team? I don't know. Like, I'm thinking about it right now.
I doubt it in a race. If you got a good team, I don't think so.
Right.
If Ottawa struggles or something, they might be like, I don't know if I need to see, Winnipeg again or whatever, or vice versa. But I was thinking
last night that the Habs might have enough of the Leafs by the end of it, not based on wins and losses, because I think I got a feeling the Habs and the Leafs are going to be pretty much 500 against each other this year. But they might have enough of the Leafs power play by the end of this 10 game.
Yeah.
Because the Habs penalty killing, which really struggled last year, looked lost last night, and it really changed the game, because I don't know what you guys have talked about, but I thought the Canadians were kind of carrying the 5-on-5 until that late second period, the back-to-back power plays for Toronto.
Yeah, and I would say even the power play for Montreal, even though it was more lucky bounces in the first, the Leafs penalty kill wasn't exceptional either.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, the Habs, that's what got the Leafs back in the game, and that's what ultimately got them to 2 points in the end. But I thought it was a fun game. I thought it was a back-and-forth game. I was impressed with the Habs, and I thought they looked like what I expected them to look like. Josh Anderson had an incredible night. Cool. Romanov kid had a great first impression. He looked good. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier with the Pierre-Luc Dubois stuff out there, Pierre. And, you know, he wants out. He's made it clear. It's on the record. Doesn't mean he's going to get dealt. Doesn't mean he's going to where he wants to go. But there's an understanding, you know, being from Quebec, French-Canadian, there's a connection to Montreal. Could you see that connection? And if so, how much do you think Montreal wants to mess with what they've built here, right, especially for a guy like Dubois, who's a good player, really good player?
Yeah, so I'm not here to tell you that it won't happen, but I'm here to tell you that nothing has really changed over the past week or two. That I think what you're seeing now is people kind of forcing a little momentum in it because it's such a great storyline, as opposed to any evidence of Montreal and Columbus furthering talks, if that makes any sense. Now, right, as I've said many times, Marc Bergevin's track record, perhaps as much as almost any GM in the league, is to stay on big names. He loves it. You know, maybe him and Doug Wilson are the two. So there's no question that he's inquired in my mind. But I think now what you're seeing is people wanting to pile on and write about it and add to it. I have no evidence in the last couple of days that anything's changed there. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, we actually talked about Dubois in insider trading, which just aired on SportsCenter. And, you know, John Tortorella and his comments on the radio yesterday kind of went in on the radar, I guess, in some quarters, but we talked about it on IT. For one, Torts confirmed that Dubois has asked for a trade. And you might say, well, yeah, we've been reporting that on TSN for 2 weeks. Yeah, except that Yermo Kekalainen and Pierre-Luc Dubois went out of their way in their media availabilities before camp to dance around it. They didn't deny it, but they didn't come out and say it was flat out true. So now, A, the coach did that on local radio yesterday. And B, he talked on the radio about not exactly knowing why Dubois wanted out, and he wants to know why. So here's what wow, I would tell you. Yes. Here's what I would tell you. I know for a fact that the GM and the players camp here, led by Pat Brisson, they want to work together on this. They want this to be quiet as possible. They don't want it to be confrontational. And they've so far handled it pretty well. I mean, the bottom line is Kekalainen has made no promises to Dubois, but he's clearly made the rounds. He's called a number of teams, I know. But when your coach comes out on local radio and says stuff like that, that only makes it harder on the GM. Because now what is a situation where you're trying to have both sides work together, now you might have a situation that where the player gets upset or the situation becomes untenable over time. So it'd be interesting to me to find out how the GM handled that after yesterday.
Yeah, that's tough because, you know, you start looking at it, and if there was maybe an agreement kind of behind the scenes to kind of, hey, let's be pros, let's take a look at this. And,
right,
you know, as you know, Pat Brisson is not a new agent. He's a guy who's a super agent who kind of has his tentacles on the best players in the league. So, and you know that he would have the ear of a lot of general managers. So you could, behind the scenes, through back channeling, do exactly what is now being forced kind of on their hand in the public, and that's finding a marketplace for Pierre-Luc Dubois. I think Montreal would be a fit. I just feel like the asking price would be too high for Bergie to go after it. I don't know. I thought I saw maybe on your Twitter account, but Anaheim maybe a team that is looking, or yeah, at least have the assets to go after a guy like Dubois.
Zegras,
yeah,
going the other way?
I threw out a bunch of names in an article in The Athletic last weekend just to, right, get the ball rolling. Teams that I know that have interest, you know, whether it goes beyond that. Montreal was on it, of course, but Anaheim was on it. Noodles, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, let me ask you this. If Columbus comes in on Zegras, you know, what do you do if you're Anaheim?
I think I'd do it because I know what Dubois is, and I like him. Right. I love him as a player, but the timing is tough. Zegras just put on a clinic,
right, but
the World Juniors.
But as we've seen, and even Ray has admitted this, those World Junior tournaments can make heroes out of players, and then when they get to the NHL, you're like, okay, where did, you know, Curtis Lazar looked like Trevor Zegras the one tournament, you know, and,
right,
and Max Domi, and, you know, the list goes on, and they're,
sure,
all fine players, but Zegras looks like a superstar in that tournament. I don't know what he is at the
NHL
level.
Depends on the timeline, too, right? Like, Anaheim's been in kind of a mess for a couple of years. So do they feel like they're ready to take a big step forward?
Right.
Or what?
Well, because I would say that even though they've gotten a lot younger, that I think the Ducks would like to push the cycle, I think, push their cycle forward quicker than their cross-town rivals, L.A. L.A.'s in a full rebuild. But there's another team I had on my list. I mean, the Kings, I know I've talked about it internally in terms of Dubois. But it just so happens that where they're probably at their deepest in the pipeline is at center. You got Byfield, you got Turcotte, speaking of great World Juniors. Mm-hmm. So Bilardi, they got a bunch of guys. So why does it even make any sense for LA to get into it? I guess you could argue both sides. What about Chicago? Would they be willing to move Kirby Dach? You know, Ottawa's got a lot of prospects, but the thing is, I think if Columbus ever trades Pierre-Luc Dubois, they're going to want NHL help now. It's not a futures deal only.
Yeah, exactly.
They just beat Tampa 2 years ago and Toronto last summer. This isn't about let's start over again. Are you kidding me? Like, that's not what Columbus wants to do.
With Pierre Lebrun, our TSN Hockey Insider, we were discussing what was a rather, I guess, viral topic last night and into today. That was the cross-checking of players, and specifically stars. And I saw you quote-tweeted Jeff Jackson, and Jeff's been around the game forever, and he's an agent. He's in the Orr Group and represents McDavid, Matthews, or at least that team does.
Right.
And they got hit a couple of times last night. It's been a big topic in Vancouver since Patterson showed up. He's been, had liberties taken on him forever. And this is an evergreen topic for the better part of 100 years.
Right.
In the sport, it's always been there. But for me, there's if it is a problem, and it can be from time to time, there's two options. Either the league mandate that the refs call it, or the teams are going to police it themselves. And either there'll be more fights breaking out, or the superstar on the other team is going to take abuse when he gets to the other net. Very simple. There's two options here, Pierre.
Yeah,
that's how I see it.
Calling the rule book is the one that we should be espousing. I quote tweeted Jeff Jackson because, those are two clients that are as high profile as they come. And I don't know that he probably appreciated that I did because it sort of threw it into another platform, I guess, by giving it more attention. But hey, if he's tweeting that, there's a reason for it. And I understand the frustration, but I don't think I had a former enforcer, Tom Sestito, tweet back at me, say, well, that's what happens when you get rid of the enforcers. That's not the answer. I mean, by the way, I love tough guys back in the day. They're some of the nicest guys alive, but the answer is not to slow down the game and bring back enforcers. The answer is to call the rule book. And Chiarot should have got a cross-checking penalty on Matthews. I mean, very clearly. Mm-hmm. And that's that. I don't know why. I don't know how there's even a debate or a further conversation other than just call the damn penalty.
Well, I think it comes down like that one was rather egregious. Like Weber kind of got him first, which wasn't over the top, and then Chiarot came in and just kind of buried him. And the fact that he got injured and because of who he is, it got a bigger platform. Like we're not having this discussion if Barabanov takes that cross check. Clearly,
yeah,
I mean,
it's
not coming up. But it's. The issue I have is, and this is to use an example of technology and where the game is going, with the decision to review offsides, I've always said, why draw the line there? Why is that more important than the icing that you missed or too many men that you missed? And it's the same thing with a cross-check. It's like, okay, if you're going to start really calling that, then you have to call every hook and every slash.
Where's it stop? I mean,
where does it stop? And no one wants that.
No, right. I mean, there.
But
you
there,
could have.
There were three or four there, though. I mean,
yeah, you could have.
I mean, I'm with you guys. The first Weber one was a classic. Okay, you're going to be in front of the net. You gotta earn it. So I didn't mind the first one, but then when you keep going, by the third or fourth one, and the last one was just in that spot where you could see Matthews wins. It, like, there's got to be a line.
Yeah. I agree. And Matthews pushed back. I don't know if he broke his stick on Chiarot earlier or if there was after that shift or whatever. Like,
he
pushed back. Like, there was, like, this is the one thing that, you can see battles build. And I agree. Call the rule book. But, like, if you want to call everything, there's a penalty every shift. There literally is a penalty every shift. It depends on how you want to interpret and how you want to, the flow of the game to go with. I understand that. And if there is maybe an ongoing battle back and forth, like, I saw Montreal fans pointing to like Matthews hit on Anderson, and they both winced on that play. I don't think Austin Matthews was intentionally trying to knee Josh Anderson. I think he tried to get a hit on him, and they ended up both, you know, a little bit nicked up on that play. There's plays every shift, and it's a fast game, and I understand that, but it's just at what point to what you're saying, Brian, is if you overcall the game or you don't call it, like, you're going to have people complaining about it on either side. So I don't know what the happy medium is you trust that these refs have a feel for it. They do what they can. They're going to miss some. You hope they don't miss the big ones, and that the players respect the rules for the most part. And if they don't, that's when it comes into, hey, the players take the rules or take it into their own hands, which you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, policing
Brian.
It themselves in a way. Not ending it, but basically saying there's going to be retribution when your guy rules. It's not even I'm going to fight Sherrod. It's, okay, the next time Suzuki's around, I'm just going to hack
right.
him. You
it
know,
was,
and
right. yeah.
that's the issue.
Well, and by the way, you know, let's balance the books here. If anything, I know that I don't think the Habs were thrilled with the officiating last night either, given that they feel those power plays at the end of the period for the Leafs changed the whole game. So,
well, let me jump on this. I actually, sorry to interrupt, Pierre. I want both your reactions because I kind of chuckled to myself. Do you think, with how passionate this market is, if that play that happened to Drouin, the freebie off the ref, that VC goal, if that would have happened the other way, do you think that there would have been a lot of noise today about, like, that the ref's got to blow that down? That's, you know, like, I don't. It's an accident.
It was terrible luck. It was, yeah.
It's terrible luck.
Of course, Leaf fans would have been pissed. I don't think you can't blow it down. That's the nature of the sport. But, yes, I mean, they're clearly, and I'm sure there's, but they're complaining in Montreal.
But that's what I mean. Would there be a narrative going, like, that can't be a goal. You got to blow that down. Because I did have a few Montreal fans, you know, say, I saw that on Twitter, and
they
I had one reach out
it.
Saying,
"Let's not pretend like Montreal
is
Columbus and they're not paying attention."
No. That's what I'm saying. It happened to them. That's why.
But let's be honest. That play happens on the other end of the ice. Leaf fans are blaming Freddie Anderson.
They might have been. Should have been in better position.
Yeah.
You could be right there, Pierre.
No, you're right. But it just that's my point is it would be a big topic today. And it is one in Montreal. Don't get
game
me wrong.
Changer. That's a turning point. Forget everything else. The ref just passed the puck to Willie, and then he just said, there you go. Tuck that one home, Jimmy.
And you know what? There's nothing he could do about it. That happened to me once during a game where a defenseman went to turn and fire it, and it hit the ref's skate and went to a guy in front, and he one-timed it into the net.
Price was lost. Nothing he could do about it. He thought
and
it was
the ref's
around.
Like staring at me going, I'm sorry, man. I'm like, well, don't count the goal. He's like, there's nothing I can do about it. Like, crazy play. But anyways, I thought about that. I agree. I there's nothing that could be done. But as much noise as there's in Montreal right now about that, there would have been just as much in Toronto if
absolutely.
It went vice versa
you
today.
You know that. They're both markets are the same when it comes to that.
Absolutely.
That kind of stuff,
yeah.
For sure. Well, it's fun to have it back, isn't it, Pierre? It's going to be fun again tonight, too, man. Every night for the next, 117 days or whatever it is, just nonstop hockey.
Bring it on. I love it. Let's hope that the protocols hold up and we get this season through, man. It's good to have it back.
Yep, it is. Go Packers. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. Nice.
Had to get you. You've done it so many times to me the other way. Thank you for this. There he is.
All right, buddy.
Our TSN Hockey Insider.